This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We've made it. We've arrived. Greatest 2 days on the sports calendar. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Later today, March Madness in full effect. Pearl, we're asking you two questions to the audience. Number one, where are you watching today? Because this is a great couch experience to just watch like 50 hours of straight basketball for the next 4 days. And this is also a great bar experience because this is one of the days of the year where you can actually do basically breakfast, lunch, and dinner all at the bar.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're really dedicated, you could do that any day, 365 days a year.
It's kind of more socially acceptable today. I was actually thinking, you know, if you're going to do breakfast, lunch, and dinner all at a sports bar, what's the right menu item for those three meals? Like, I think breakfast would probably be like a quesadilla. Maybe it could be like a breakfast food. Lunch, you got to go wings. And I think dinner is a burger.
Someone is starving right now. I can tell by
thought this through.
That'll be me.
And by the way, so you're on the West Coast when you're eating breakfast at the sports bar? When?
No, I think you can get to the bar like around 11:30. That's still breakfast time to me. Games tip off around noon Eastern time, and then lunch, you know, happens around, you know, 2:30, some 2.
Yeah.
And so, then dinner at, you know, whatever.
Saunter up the bar and say, "Can I have some French toast?"
Well, that'd be great.
No, sir. This is a
this is a old Maligan's.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's also, don't forget the devices. I remember when I was in school, back in the day, did we try to sneak, don't you remember in school, kids used to try to watch the tournament? Manny, you had a phone probably in school.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, most
of
the time.
Did you guys sneak in, when you were in high school, I seem to remember doing something tricky to watch the games. A long time ago, obviously, and like pulling in a TV somewhere or calling in sick.
I think it's not just a smartphone when you were in high school.
How the hell were you doing it?
No, I think that, how did we do it? I think maybe the gym teacher had a TV in his office or something.
The AV room, right? Wasn't that back in the day you guys had the AV room?
Yeah, or a cool teacher.
Yeah. No, I seem to remember that I never missed a tournament game. I might have called in sick, but I think, you know, I think basically the NCAA tournament is more important than education. So if you're out there and you're a kid and you're listening, it's time to dedicate yourself and get out of school.
When I was in high school, yeah, we had the cool teachers pull. I don't know how you guys did it back in the Ice Age, but when we were in high school, on the smart board, they would just put the games on. And you know, if there was a late game, it was close. The cool teacher would put it on for sure.
Yeah. No, I don't know about a smart board. Someone would actually wheel in a television on the cart.
Oh, I remember those too. You know, technology.
Yeah.
Now, my understanding of school today is, and then my kids tell me this, a lot of times the teacher's just like, okay, we're going to watch a movie today. That now, happens a lot in my New York City public school.
Yeah, instead of a movie, now, you know, you're watching Auburn.
Yeah.
Real quick, top one best days in school when you would see that TV on the cart in your classroom.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
My high school had the best thing, though, and this explains a lot about me. We would actually was
Kobe highlights.
It was a middle school. They would pull everybody out of class. You'd all go to the auditorium and you watch the half hour NFL Films Eagles special.
I happened can't believe every they year.
Yeah, crazy.
That's like indoctrination.
That's like propaganda. Or
yeah,
something.
Kinda. Like that feels like something they do in some communist country, you know? Except that yours is the Eagles and not like some dictator.
Wonder Philadelphians are so crazy.
And the very last 2 minutes of that. Despite being 4-12, the Philadelphia Eagles are looking forward to a shiny new hope next year. You know how those NFL Films things always put a positive spin on an awful season in the last 30 seconds? So the whole crowd is like, go Birds, even though Rich Kotai just led us to a 4-12 season. We're going to kill you next year.
All of a sudden, everyone's just running through the hallways, ripping stuff down. Yeah.
Wait,
they didn't do that where I lived. Definitely not.
They were not going to show Buffalo Bills losing Super Bowls in your high school. Are you kidding me?
No. Kids would just be crying.
We got the ticker tape parade. We saw the ticker tape parade at
school.
Fun.
Yeah,
did you get to get out of school and go to it?
No, because my mom is the worst.
Aw. She just cared about your education. Yeah, but on a day like today.
But that doesn't even matter. She took me to school and all I did was watch the parade in class. I should have just went to the city. I digress.
For what team? You didn't have a lot of ticker tape parade.
The Giants,
man.
Come on, man.
Manny's also a Yankee fan. I mean,
oh, you're a Giants fan?
You've been so privileged.
The Giants, come on, man.
Hi, I'm Manny Rodriguez. Nice to meet you, Pearl.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Okay, let's turn our attention to somebody who has played in this tournament, somebody who also spent 13 years in the NBA. He was an All-American at Kansas. And then, again, had a long, distinguished NBA career, now working on behalf of Yahoo Sports. It's Marcus Morris who's joining us. Hey, Marcus, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I can't complain at all.
Well, that's great. Let's talk a little about your Kansas Jayhawks, shall we? Because they're starting off the tournament, and it's a doozy. Your former coach, Bill Self, goes up against John Calipari, who's in his first season at Arkansas. It happens tonight. How would you describe this coaching matchup?
Oh, man, it's coaching of Hall of Fame coaches. I had a chance to spend a lot of time with both coaches. As you know, I originally committed to Memphis when Calipari was there. So we built like a really good relationship. Over the years, actually, when I still got into the league, and then obviously Coach Self is my guy, Kansas Jayhawks. I got my jersey retired in Island Fieldhouse, so, you know, it's always a special place for me. But to have two Hall of Fame coaches going against each other in the NCAA tournament, not just in the tournament, but the start of the tournament, should be a really good game.
What was it like to be recruited by John Calipari? What's the story there? Do you have one you can share?
Oh, man, you know what? Like, Calipari was a real guy. He came down to North Philly. I don't know if I told anybody this, to my grandma's house back on Jerome Street in North Philly. So, you know, that was eye-opening. I'm a guy to be able to come there, sit down at the table, have dinner with the family, right, and fit in with us and got us to actually commit to Memphis. I heard from a little birdie that he was leaving to go to Kentucky, and, you know, I had to kind of pull out of that because, you know, we were slated to go to Memphis. We didn't know who was going to be there next, but, you know, Calipari heard that we were decommitted, flew back to North Philly and tried to get us to stay. But, you know, it was a little too late. We knew he was leaving. So, that was my story. That was my quick story there. He just jumped on that jet whenever he wanted to.
All right, Marcus, I have a two-part question. I'm from Lower Merion, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Philadelphia. Sir. Can I say I'm from Philadelphia?
Yes, you may.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Why did you not... We were just looking at your recruiting profile. You did not want to stay in Philadelphia for college.
Technically, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I actually had a chance to go to LaSalle University. Me and my brother, right? We were in high school, and I remember this vividly. Happy Owens, I don't know if you know that name, the guy that coached at LaSalle. He was the assistant coach, a Philly legend. We sat in his office, right, and they had a player there that's a little bit further back, so I can't put my finger on his name. He was the player of the year two times in the Atlantic 10, and he was a scoring champion in the Atlantic 10, 2 years running. And we sat in his office, right, and the draft came on, the NBA draft, and I remember my mentor at the time telling me, like, if this kid from LaSalle gets drafted, we're committed to LaSalle. So we went up to LaSalle during the draft, and we watched the entire draft, and he did not get drafted. And that was the reasoning behind me and my brother leaving Philadelphia to go play college basketball.
Marcus Morris is joining us on behalf of Yahoo Sports. He and his brother Markeith, amazing careers at Kansas. You were an All-American. As you mentioned, your jerseys retired there, and then 13 years in the NBA with 8 different teams. We want to touch on some NBA stuff with you, too. Toughest guy you ever played against, either college or pro, Marcus? Because you and your brother, really, really tough. But who's the toughest guy you played against?
If we're talking tough on the court, I got to say LeBron James. As far as just all-around player. And if we're talking, like, scoring tough, it's got to be Kevin Durant, right? He's 6'11". He can shoot over anybody. But if we're talking about just pure basketball, pure toughness, LeBron James is the hardest player I've ever had to guard.
Okay, Marcus, LeBron James was drafted 7 years before you got into the league, and he's still playing. How is he doing this?
I can't put my finger on it, but it takes a guy that really working on his body day in and day out to get to that age and still produce at that level. To me, he's the greatest player that's ever played the game just because of that, right? His longevity, he's still at the height of his career. He's still dominating the NBA even at 40. Like, it's just amazing to me. But I understand, like, even being 35, how much work you have to put in to keep your body going, to keep getting up, to keep having love for the game. And, you know, I take my hat off to him because he has everything, right? He has all the money. He has the accolades, and he's still going. So to me, that makes them the greatest player ever.
Of course, your brother on the Lakers. What was your reaction to the Luka Doncic trade right before the trade deadline?
Hey, I was thrown off. I think everybody else was thrown off. I just couldn't believe it. And there's no disrespect to Anthony Davis, but it didn't match to me, right? As for basketball purposes, I just didn't understand it. If I'm a GM and I'm looking at this on the outside looking in, why would I trade him somewhere where I have to see him 4 times a year and possibly in the playoffs with the L.A. Lakers? That doesn't make sense. Like, if I was to trade him, which I would never do, I would at least trade him to the East Coast so I don't have to see him. I don't want to see this guy 4 times a year and possibly in the playoffs for the rest, maybe the rest of his career, because I can tell you right now the Lakers are never going to trade Luka Doncic. So That was the part where I was, like, very confused that it was something there. And then when he talked about, like, his weight and different things like that, I couldn't believe that, because what he's done in his career thus far, even if his weight is a little high, should tell you that that's not nothing to worry about. He's getting older. He's going to get more mature. He's going to understand the dynamic of working hard and, you know, keeping the weight down. It's just, I feel like it's something behind the scenes that a lot of us don't know about that happened to make you actually want to trade top 5 player in the NBA from here, and it's going to be a top 5 player until he's 35, because the things that he doesn't require athleticism, right?
Marcus Morris is joining us on behalf of Yahoo Sports, talking college hoops, talking NBA. You know, we noticed you had some comments about Daryl Morey recently. Mark, yeah, you said you just don't trust the guy. And that really echoes something that James Harden had said when he went to China and had that sort of moment where he said, you know, I just don't trust Daryl Morey. Why don't you trust him?
You know, I just had to be honest. Like, as a player, seeing, like, guys just keep moving around and flipping around and flipping, it's something that's not about the players there, right? It's about his own thinking. It's about what he sees. And I just don't believe in that in the NBA. You get guys that come to a team, you get them to commit to a team, commit to a franchise, and the guy that's running the franchise doesn't commit to the player. If you notice his background, he gets the players that previously played on his team, no matter how old he is, and he just flips them around, right? You have a guy like James Harden. I was talking to my guy on the podcast, and I told him, he said, Jay, he's built a great team. I said, well, it's easy to tell a player that that you're going to pay him, and then when he get there, lie to him and get him to come to the team. It's easy to do that, right? You're not actually upholding the NBA standard as a GM or a president to be flipping guys in and out. You got 10 new guys on the team. You trade 5-6 of them at the middle of the season. Last year, you traded maybe 5 of us at the trade deadline. I'm just like, bro, what's going on here? And this has nothing to do with me. This is just from me watching them from the outside looking in. I just don't think that's good for our game. My city of Philadelphia deserved to have more consistent players, deserve to have a better team. And you have a guy like Daryl Morey that's just, you know, that's just playing. I don't even feel like he's playing chess. It's like he's playing like backwards checkers at this point.
What did you say? What did you mean when you said that he doesn't understand Philadelphia?
What I mean by that is, like, you know, a guy like this stuff from Lord Mary, you know, Philadelphia is tough. It's gritty, right? You got to have aggressive dudes. You got to have guys that want to play there. I feel like he doesn't understand the dynamic of the city of Philadelphia. If you look at the Eagles and getting guys like Gardner Johnson, and that pushed them over the top to win a Super Bowl, right? You have to get guys that fit this, to fit the mold. You go to, you even look at the draft, and they're getting all the Georgia guys and those tough, hard-nosed cats that, you know, that want to be in the city, that embrace the toughness, that embrace the fans. Like, as a GM, I would recognize that if I'm running the team in Philadelphia, you have to recognize that it's a certain type of guys, a certain type of character guys, a certain type of toughness that you have to have around the team, right? With him, I don't even believe that he even cares about, like, chemistry. There's no way that you care about chemistry when you flip guys in and out each year. How do you build a chemistry? How can you build a championship team when your best player don't know who's walking through the locker room each and every year? You get in guys and you lying to them, you switching them in and out. I just feel like he doesn't understand the dynamic of playing in Philadelphia now. And when you're in Houston, you're the Rockets. Like, Houston is a big city, but, you know, it's not known for, like, super toughness, right? It's not a big sports town. When you think about Philadelphia, that's what you think about. And I feel like he doesn't match the mold of a Philadelphia GM or even know what a Philadelphia guy represents.
James Harden and Joel Embiid, both on that 76ers team. What's something that maybe on the outside fans may not understand about Harden and Embiid, because they are two guys who have been criticized, praised a lot for sure, but also criticized by the fans?
I'm going to start with Harden. I think he's got put in a negative light when he was in Philadelphia because of Daryl Morey, right? If I'm a player that turned down a significant amount of money with Brooklyn to get to Philly, like, this is a guy that wanted to come to Philadelphia. I remember having conversations and he was saying, like, I want to go to Philly. I want to help Philly get a championship. And then you get a GM that literally sits up and bold-faced lied to him and tell him he's going to give him a max contract. And then when it's time, after playing really well in the playoffs, yeah, he didn't have the best game 7, but playing really well in the playoffs, how do you go back from that, right? If I'm a player and I'm guaranteeing that I'm going to get a max contract and this is my guy, but the relationship that these guys had, like, everyone's seen that. This is, like, his guy, so... You know, that would throw me off too, man, and it would make me look a little disgruntled because I would want out. I wouldn't want to be nowhere near him, and I don't think this has anything to do with Philadelphia because, like, James Harden is one of my good friends. He really loved playing in Philadelphia, and I think that Daryl Morey just kind of effed the relationship up, and it kind of shined a bad light on Harden and him wanting to move, but that was all Daryl Morey. And then when it comes down to Joel Embiid is one of the greatest big men you will ever see touch a basketball. He's a great player. I think he just dealt with injuries, but also, man, it's accountability over there. I feel as though, you know, he has to have veterans around him to hold him accountable for certain things that happens. And I think just growing up in Philadelphia, the organization, he has a lot of leeway to kind of, you know, do as he please. And I feel like, you know, it has to be someone in that's holding Joel a little bit more accountable off the court and the things that he does, right? He's known for having a lot of injuries. So how do we prevent those injuries? How is his diet? How is his workout ethic? How is he keeping his body in shape? That's the one thing that I feel as though that Daryl doesn't even play a part in that, right? He doesn't even help with that. For me, from what I'm seeing when I was there, I just feel like he needs more veterans around to hold him accountable, to keeping his body together, to, you know what I mean, to being out on that court and wanting to play. if you got a lot of young guys that's going in and out, who's really talking to Joel? Who's really, like, holding him accountable? And, you know, he's a great player. And when I was there, I've never seen a player of that caliber move the way he moved, show up. He barely didn't warm up before games, and he still was getting 50. It was very impressive. But I know that, you know, the older you get, some of these things has to change, right? And I don't think he gets enough credit for how good he is and how much he really loved the game. And sometimes I think he overuses himself. Sometimes he puts his body on the line when I don't think he's needed, right? But at the same time, you know, you have to have people around it to hold Joe accountable. And if Daryl Morey focused more on that instead of trying to flip guys in and out and build the whole team and try to show everybody he's a guru of basketball, like, let's use AI. Like, let's win a game first. Excuse my language. Let's win a championship before we start talking about AI.
Marcus, I love it. If, next time, can we talk more Philadelphia Eagles? Maybe do 10 minutes of Eagles, 10 minutes of basketball? Because I'm in New York, and I was cheering when you mentioned the Super Bowl.
Man, the Eagles, hey, listen, I could talk Eagles forever and ever, man. Like, and it's crazy, and my brother can tell you this. The time we signed Saquon Barkley, I told him in front of him, I said, we're going to win a championship. Wow. We're going to win the Super Bowl when we signed Saquon Barkley, and I still believe it. I think we lost a lot of key pieces this summer. During this free agency that I would like to have seen stay, but I mean, Howie's doing a great job over there. You know, guys want to come play for the Eagles, and I'm excited to see the direction from here.
Marcus, you got to tell Yahoo, not only can you do college basketball and NBA, you got to get on the NFL coverage as well.
Oh, man, I have to. I have to. NFL, football is my favorite sport. Like, honestly, it's my favorite sport. I love talking football.
Another time, yeah, we'll have you back on to break down the entire Eagles offseason, and I'm sure you got some football stories as well. That would be fun. Again, Marcus Morse, you can listen, watch him on Yahoo Sports, doing a fantastic job, and good luck to your Kansas Jayhawks as they take on Arkansas later today.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Some really, really interesting stuff there from Marcus about the Philadelphia 76ers, about Joel Embiid, Daryl Morey, who obviously is no love lost between those two guys, and a whole lot more.
He's really good. I was wondering, you know, Draymond Green is not going to be able to fill the Charles Barkley role to me, because Draymond's just unbelievable. He's just too polarizing, believe it or not. Even more polarizing than Charles Barkley.
Come on, man.
I don't feel like Draymond is easing into this. I don't think Marcus Morris is going to go into that role, but he is. If he wants to be a full-time TV analyst, I think he will clearly say stuff. And that's rare in this business.
Listen, there was a lot of Philadelphia in that interview, but I also think that the point he made about the Lakers and the Luka trade is not one that should be glossed over, because we've talked about that trade a million different ways and we will continue to. But the one thing that no one really is talking about is not just that you did the trade for Anthony Davis and didn't really shop Luka, but why would you trade him to a team that you are likely going to see in the playoffs, if you are a playoff team, for years to come?
Well,
you know, that's the player's perspective right there that sometimes I don't think we think about as media.
Well, the Mavericks, though, have a very easy solution for that. They're clearly not making the playoffs for another decade.
That wasn't the plan, but that's the reality now. Fair point. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476 is our brand new phone number. New phone, who dis? Coming up next, we will update you on results from yesterday's Maggie and Perloff movie sequel bracket. The Hoth region was revealed yesterday, so we've got an update for you there. And then the final region, the Los Angeles region, Pearl, will be revealed a little bit later on today.
Love it.
888-710-4ISN. It's
new
the
phone,
Maggie and Perloff show. Don't move.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So much going on here today. We now have, I'm doing the math here, 4.5 hours to compete in the Pearl Jam bracket against me and Maggie and EJ and Manny. Now, what's the, are we a one bracket place? I assume for this we have to be, because I was thinking about going alias and fading some of my own picks, because I got to admit there clearly are some really, really hard brackets. I feel like Duke bracket is easy. I feel like the Florida bracket is kind of easy to figure out. I got to tell you, Auburn is a mess. And Houston, to me, who you have going to the title game.
I do. Losing to
Michigan really good.
State.
There's just a lot of pitfalls in there, starting out with EJ Zags possibly in round two.
Yeah, my theory on this is, you know, Tom Izzo took over the Michigan State Spartans in 1995, and here we are in 2025. This would be an even 30 years after he took over as head coach of the program. If they go to the title games, I think even if they go to the Final Four, this is in play. But for me, going to the national championship game, winning it all, riding off into the sunset. I also like the symmetry of Jace Richardson, son of Jason Richardson, who obviously, you know, helped lead Michigan State to a title in 2000. Now his son might lead them to a title in 2025. Like, I love the symmetry of this. I love the, you know, the story of it. So maybe I'm just a romantic, but this to me is shaping up for maybe an all-time Michigan State run.
You know, what the heck is Tom Izzo going to do if he's not coaching basketball?
I mean, he's 70. He's already in the Hall of Fame. He's done everything you can do. What do we think Coach K was going to do? I mean, these guys find a way to fill the days.
I got it. I'm looking at the current trends in college basketball, and 70 is young. I mean, listen, he'll be he could be in a Final Four where he is the youngest coach. We got Patino at 72. We got Bruce Pearl at 64. We got Kelvin Sampson at 69. This is prime college basketball coaching age, Baggy.
How old's Rick Barnes? He's got to be in his 60s,
I think he's 69,
right?
Too. This is an old man's game right now. And then you have the young guys. It's really funny. I'd like to see Patino school some of these young coaches. It'd be fun.
Jay is our pal in Nashville. We're going to update the movie sequel bracket in just a moment. But Jay, what's up, dude?
Tired, quitting time, been looking at jugs all day and ready to go home and go to sleep.
I'm sorry, you're looking at what?
How you doing, loved ones?
Looking at
milk jugs.
Oh.
Get your minds out of the gutter. Especially
that's
you, man. Especially you, Manny, because I know you're single.
Yeah.
Get your mind out the gutter.
Manny's got a grin all over his face.
I can't see him, but I know his eyes lit up.
Jay, the second you said that, both Maggie and I immediately looked up at Manny. I don't know why. I was like, we gotta send Manny down so you guys can hang out over a weekend and look at jugs together.
I mean, looking at milk jugs all day, what'd you think we were going to think? We're children over here.
We all children at heart, man. But yeah, I be looking at jugs, and they go by. You remember the old Laverne and Shirley show, and they look at the liquor bottles go by or whatever. But it's the same way here. Yeah, that's beer, but this is milk jugs, and milk jugs doesn't sound too good either, man. It makes you, I don't know. We're children, like you said, but
yeah, we're just
I'm ready to go home. Yeah, I need to get home and fill out my bracket. I use ChatGPT to fill mine out, so I'm going to see how that works out. But
that's a good idea. You know, you and Daryl Morey using AI to try to get good results. Hey, Jay, if you're going to fill out a bracket, make sure to check out the Maggie and Perloff social channels and join Pearl Jam Season 4, dude. Come on aboard.
You're the bracket I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Talking about you guys' bracket.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm only going to fill out you guys' bracket. I usually don't do brackets, but this year I'll do you guys' bracket. But, I mean, it's you guys are talking about where I'm going to watch it. I mean, today I'm going to watch it in the bed on my phone after I get some sleep in. But I think this weekend, I mean, here in Nashville, they opened up Second Avenue again. I don't know if you guys remember what happened with that, but I think Jelly Roll got a new bar over there, so I'm going to check that out. And, you know, I don't even drink, but I'll probably order a club soda and just watch basketball. Or I'll probably end up at the food court because they'll have a live band and sports on. You can order whatever kind of food you want. So, I mean, that's a good deal, too.
That sounds great. You're all lined up then. I didn't know that Jelly Roll opened up a bar in Nashville. That's cool.
What other musicians have bars there, Jay?
You got Morgan, you got McBride.
Morgan Wallen, that guy?
Yeah, Morgan Wallen. Matter of fact, that guy walks around downtown by himself all the time. You run into him. I ran into him like three times. He'll just walk by, hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing, Morgan? And you keep on walking. But Martina McBride has one. I forget the other country music singer he has. I met his mom, dude. His mom just walked up to me and they just started praying. I'm like, wait a minute, your son, that's your son's name on that bar? She's like, yeah, I forget his name.
I got a list here. Could you, for Eric Church, Luke Bryan, Alan Jackson.
Luke Bryan's mom.
Yeah.
Luke
Bryan's
mom.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, Miranda Lambert. Yeah. Blake Shelton owns a bar too. We got to get down to Nashville. I think that's what I'm learning here, Jay.
Yeah, the cool thing about, like, the country music stars here, they're not, it's not like they're going to be a big entourage or whatever. They'll be by themselves. They, I mean, they'll be just around chilling, and nobody, I think everybody's too drunk to even realize who that is standing in front of them. But, I mean, but it's, I mean, that's what makes the city so cool. I mean, I love my city. I love, this is home. But, yeah, that's the cool thing about downtown, especially Broadway. Like, they'll just be walking around. Like, nobody with them, just by themselves. You know, it's crazy.
Well, you love to see it, but also, I mean, you can't be pretentious if you're a country music star, right? Like, even if you are pretentious, you got to really go out of your way to hide it. Like, those are the people who have to come off like the everyman and every woman.
Yeah.
It's crucial to the brand. Like,
yeah, and exactly. And then the way they're dressed, it'll just be like a t-shirt, jeans, walking down the street. And I think that's the best cloak they can have. They're not, you know, shiny and glittering and, you know, Liberace looking or anything like that. You know, it's just regular, you know. But
Jay, listen, enjoy watching the tournament today. Glad, and thank you for the call as always.
I would love to go down to Nashville and just look at some jugs with Eric Church.
Yeah, I was going to say milk jugs really with
Martina McBride. Could also do that in New Orleans, I've heard.
You could definitely do it in Nashville, too.
Might have to partake.
Yeah. No, it's true. The last time I was in Nashville, we were at Tootsie's famous Orchid Lounge. You guys all know it. It's the big purple bar that's right on the corner there, Broadway. Really famous, really kind of touristy, but cool. And my friend and I were on the roof deck enjoying, you know, a drink together. And all of a sudden, this person comes over. They go, sorry, we got to, like, move you just a little bit. They put, you know, sorry. They were very, very nice about it. They kind of moved us to a different table. We said, why? They put up, like, a velvet rope. And all of a sudden, Kid Rock showed up with one of the guys from NSYNC, Chris somebody, who was the dude from NSYNC?
Chris Kirkpatrick?
Yes. And we met him, and I've got photos and all these videos, and they invited us to a Kid Rock after party, but we already had plans.
What was better than a Kid Rock after party?
Got seeing Beyonce.
Oh, never mind. Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Girls trip to Nashville. 888-710-4ISN. Little Nashville story. The irony is she actually ended up canceling because the stadium wasn't right. And we ended up going to this other sort of Beyonce tribute thing. It was kind of a long story. But Jay's right. You just see famous people in Nashville.
That was one of the bottom five name dropping 2 minutes you've ever had there.
What are you
talking
about?
Rock, a guy from NSYNC, and maybe a Beyonce cover band? what is going on here?
I'll find the video.
Go out on the street right now and you'll do better than that.
Kid Rock's pretty famous now. I thought he was going to be like the Secretary of the Interior for a couple minutes.
What was the other band? Was it NSYNC? One of the guys from NSYNC.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big deal.
It wasn't even Justin. It was one of the other dudes.
I know Chris Kirkpatrick because Eminem name drops him all the time and hates him.
Yeah. Nice guy, though.
Then there was about Beyonce, but not Beyonce like that.
Yeah, I don't want to lie to you guys. We did go to Nashville to see Beyonce, and she was doing a tour. This was the Lemonade tour, and she probably did 300 dates. And these were the only dates that were canceled because the stupid stadium in Nashville had some kind of seating issue. And they canceled like all 3 days of that tour. What's that?
Nissan Stadium?
Yeah, Nissan Stadium.
A shame.
And we never got to see her. So we ended up going to this like Beyonce. Like everyone there was like in mourning because we had all like tons of people had flown to Nashville because that's a cool place to see Beyonce. And so there was like this outpouring and we ended up like in these different sort of Beyonce kind of pseudo parties all night. Never got to the Kid Rock party.
This was like the cover band's like Super Bowl, right? They didn't expect to have all these people there. Now all of a sudden everybody going to the Beyonce concert is there to see them.
I don't even know if they actually were technically Beyonce cover bands, but they were that night. Like, can you play Beyonce music because there's thousands of brokenhearted, mostly women who want to dance to Beyonce songs?
I'm looking all crazy right now.
Are there cover bands of non like rock bands? That's the only cover bands that I know of.
I have to imagine there's like Prince cover bands and stuff like that.
I feel like this story.
Michael Jackson, definitely.
Like, is there a dude standing on stage doing like Jay-Z or Biggie song, like covering them like as their gig? Does that happen?
I don't know. We should make that happen. Yeah. That'd be cool.
I think the sports equivalent of this story is going down to the Masters to see Tiger Woods, and you end up seeing John Daly in a Hooters. this is to me. I'm just not impressed. You're like, I was in Nashville, you know, and there. I don't know. I thought you were going to see Johnny Cash or somebody. It's just, I don't know. I'm disappointed.
Or Ryan Tannehill.
I saw Kid Rock, dude. That's pretty
good. Kid Rock is not hard to see. And I'm just going to throw that out.
I've never seen him.
Yes, you probably have. He does a lot of sporting events. You've never seen Kid Rock.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you, and a member of NSYNC, who I didn't remember until EJ had to remind me, but I do have the photos with him. It was fun, despite the fact that Beyonce had to cancel. I know. It was just one of those unfortunate situations. Was it seeing John Daly in a Hooters? I'd like to think it was a little bit better of a trip than that.
Maybe not much.
Bogus.
By the way, see John Daly to Hooters would be pretty classic.
It'd just be a little odd.
That's a guy you can watch some jugs with, man.
100%. That seems easy to do.
Yeah.
At Gruden not available?
Yeah. Really at a Hooters.
John Daly's at a Hooters right now.
Right.
Getting ready for March Madness.
No, he famously camps out at Hooters right in Augusta.
Listen, I mean, this is the day to sidle up right next to him at the bar and sit down.
Watch. This is his new Masters.
Watch 12 hours of college.
Yes.
I mean, he's about to be a big deal. Weren't you saying that he's a big star of Happy Gilmore 2?
Well, he's in it.
He's Chubbs.
Yeah, he's Chubbs, right? That's what I saw.
It's like co-starring, basically. Just like I co-starred in the movie Hustle.
Moving on to Americans, Matt Rogers, who should have been the best player on the floor in last night's first four opener, but he hurt his right knee just 4 minutes into the game with Mount St. Mary's, tried to play through it, crumpled to the floor for good with 5.5 to go before halftime. He watched the second half from the bench on crutches.
I tried to give him my all tonight. I feel like I still had a lot left in my heart for these guys because Y'all don't know what goes into this process of being a college basketball player. It's really hard.
Rogers' teammates coming up short, 83-72, so it's the Mount that faces Duke tomorrow night.
This is the worst part of March Madness.
I know. Watching the guys cry, and it's heartbreaking.
Although it's good in one shining moment at the end when you get a couple tears. You got to get that. Sorry.
Remember the flute player? The Villanova flute player?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was crying.
that was awesome. The player's crying, maybe not so much. That was amazing.
You liked watching this young girl cry?
Oh, that was great.
Nothing quite like watching 20-year-olds cry
while playing a woodwind.
Is that evil? Playing the flute because their basketball team lost? That's awesome.
I mean, I got to be honest.
The definition of awesome is a little off.
Manny, would you rather be watching the jugs in the crowd or the women crying?
Can we What's combine the them somehow?
Who needs Brunson?
I mean, listen, if you're directing a Florida State game.
Oh, well, that was the famous one.
No, I'm just saying.
Jen Sturger. Well, and the woman who ended up joining the WWE, EJ.
Yes. Lana. Lana was there. Yeah.
With Jen Sturger?
Yeah. She's the girl next to Jen Sturger. They both got really famous off of this. And she had a character where she was like this Russian,
like diplomat, basically. Yeah. It was
By the way,
Vince McMahon is crazy.
Her accent was pretty convincing, though, considering she's like from Florida.
A lot of people thought she was Russian.
People thought she was Russian. Her and Rusev,
right.
Who's not Rusev anymore.
Yes.
And they're married in real life.
Yeah, they announced they were getting divorced, and now they're reconciling. That's the word, right? Yeah,
reconciling.
There you go. Close enough. Yeah, they're doing that. So they're back together.
So I interviewed her. You want to know how she got a Russian accent to be so good? She actually spent time in Russia, and she was a ballet dancer, and she was just doing an impersonation of her ballet teacher. That's what she told me.
Very convincing.
And what was the line that Brent Musburger had? 10,000 red-blooded American men just applied to Florida State?
But it wasn't just Jen Sturger. You guys ever... That's a not-so-secret part of our industry. The director's always looking for pretty women in the crowd. It's the most shallow thing. I've been in trucks. Oh, we got a hottie in row 18. That's just a thing.
Awesome. You should watch
Latin American soccer games. Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Oh, it's more than the game.
It's the talent. You can't be a broadcaster unless you're a 10 out of 10 in Latin America.
Oh, yeah. That's a fact.
Maybe in America,
too. I'm also just talking about the fans in the crowd.
That's true also. Well, folks, great dynamite update. Can you stick around for a second?
No. How'd that guy in San Antonio do?
I do.
We want to hear the update. We just went a little bit too long because I told a bad story. It's my fault.
It was a great story.
No, it was a terrible one. You guys were not impressed that I saw Kid Rock.
Kid Cudi. It was awesome.
Yeah, right. Kid Cudi. All right, one sec. We're going to get the show back on track, and we also have to update our Maggie and Perloff movie sequels bracket for you. Sit tight.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Thank you, Manny, for reminding me. I do have to find this photo of me and Chris from NSYNC with my best friend Ellen in Nashville.
This is Manny's classic rock, right?
Quite literally, yes.
Okay. Bogish had to stick around. We're forcing him to because we got so wrapped up in the milk jugs last segment that we didn't want to shortchange you on your update. What else is going on in the world, sir?
I think I told you that Mount beat American last night. Xavier beat Texas 86-80 in the nightcap in Dayton. The Musketeers were down by as many as 13, so this is their largest comeback win of the season. 22 points and 8 rebounds from Marcus Foster. They now play Illinois tomorrow. Audie Crook scored 27 points, I should say, in the fourth quarter to finish off an Iowa State comeback against Princeton in the women's first four. The Tigers led by 15 early third quarter, but then went 8 minutes without a field goal to let the Cyclones back into the game. And Southern beat UC San Diego 68-56, so they play top-seeded UCLA in round one. NBA last night, no LeBron, no Jokic, no Jamal Murray as the Lakers hosted the Nuggets.
Right corner, Finney Smith. Fakes a three, gives it to Luka, who takes a three. It's good. Luka up to 30, and we still have 9:40 to go in the third quarter.
John Ireland, Lakers radio early.
Hey, LeBron, pull for your groin.
Early into a mail-it-in time. Luka needed only to play those three quarters last night. A 120-108 game, not that close. The Lakers win over the Nuggets. He finished with 31 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists. The Kings sent the Cavs to their third straight loss, 123-119. The Rocket win streak is 9 after a 116-108 win in Orlando. And the Pelicans, with a surprise, 119-115 victory in Minnesota. Zion, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. The T-Wolves back-to-back losses now after an 8-game winning streak. The Houston Texans have a new 2-year agreement with defensive end Danielle Hunter. He's now signed through next season, gets a $12 million raise for this coming campaign, and is guaranteed $54 million altogether. And from the NHL, 38 saves for Joseph Woll. Toronto got by Colorado 2-1. Back to you guys.
Can we quickly update the Hoff bracket from yesterday, the Maggie and Perloff sequels bracket? So let's get to it because we don't have a ton of time. Not surprising, but this one broke my heart a little bit. Jeez, guys, did we really have to bury Caddyshack 2 this badly? But Star Wars Empire Strikes Back takes out my fave, Caddyshack 2. What a miscarriage of justice. No. Here you go.
He never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
Okay, in the slight upset, the 9-seed Beverly Hills Cop 2 moves on past Shrek 2.
I used to be a Muslim, man, and I know that's Park over here. Yes, Park. It's definitely Park. I ain't doing around this dude, man. You want to do business? You know where to find me. You, man. Allahu Akbar.
Another upset, the 12th seed Incredibles 2 takes out Dune Part 2.
Whether it's fair or not, that's the law.
The law should be fair. What are we teaching our kids?
To respect the law.
Even when the law is disrespectful?
If laws are unjust, there are laws to change them. Otherwise, it's chaos.
Which is exactly what we have.
Back to the chalk. The fourth seed, Spider-Man 2, marches on. Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, goes home.
Where were you? Photographing squirrels? You're fired.
Chief, the planetarium party.
Oh, right. You're unfired. I need you. Come here. My society photographer got hit in the head by a polo ball. You're all I got.
But could you pay me in advance?
Great laugh. Another upset for you. The 11th seed. This one was tight. Too Fast, Too Furious got 50.3% of the vote. Takes out The Hunger Games Catching Fire, who had 49.7% of the vote.
Car, boat. You're not going to do what I think you're going to do.
Yeah, I think so. Got my back, bro?
Yeah.
All right, man, put on the seatbelt.
Show off some real dudes of hazard. We're going to do this big. Hold on, Rome. Hold on.
I said forget about it, cuz.
If Jennifer Lawrence needs any consoling, I'm right outside here. It's 555 Greenwich Street, man.
I have a major problem.
Yeah.
Major problem with that movie. It's just too fast and too furious for me.
Bye, guys.
Back to
whatever, he's going after Jennifer Lawrence.
Back to the favorites. The third seed, Batman Returns. Easy, easy pickings over the 14 seed, Major League 2.
Meow.
And quickly, the 7 seed Rush Hour 2 erases the 10 seed From Russia with Love.
Connor!
Who, Dolly?
You!
Detective, you?
Not you, you!
Who?
You!
Who?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man!
And finally, the 2nd seed in this region moves on. It's Aliens who takes out Scream 2.
Kane, who went into that ship, said he saw thousands of eggs there. Thousands.
Thank you. That will be all.
Damn it, that's not all. Because if one of those things gets down here, then that will be all. Then all this bullshit that you think is so important, you can just kiss all that goodbye.
Ah, Sigourney Weaver, the role of a lifetime. Yeah. So there you go. Star Wars, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Incredibles 2, Spider-Man 2, Too Fast, Too Furious, Batman's Returns, Rush Hour 2, and Aliens all move on.
Interesting, we have multiple Sigourney Weaver films in this bracket, and we had Eddie Murphy on Eddie Murphy Crime right there.
I know. We have one more region to reveal to you. The Los Angeles region will come your way next. The Maggie and Perloff movie sequels bracket will also update you on the latest with Aaron Rodgers and get you set for March Madness, which tips off later today. Maggie and Perloff Show.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.